वहतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
Chant the verse 14 to 18, chapter 12.
Santushta satatam yogi, santushta satatam yogi, यतात्मा दृढनिश्चयः यतात्मा दृढनिश्चयः मय्यर्पितमनोबुद्धिः यो मद्भक्तस्तमेप्रियः यो मद्भक्तस्तमेप्रियः संतुष्ट सततं योगी यतात्मा दृढनिश्चयः मय्यर्पितमनोबुद्धिः यो मद्भक्तस्तमेप्रियः यस्मानोद्विजते लोकाः लोकानोद्विजते चयः हर्षामर्षभयोद्वेगैः मुक्तो यत्स च मे प्रियः यस्मानोद्विजते लोकानोद्विजते चयः हर्षामर्षभयोद्वेगैः मुक्तो यत्स च मे प्रियः अनपेक्षसुचिर्दक्ष उदासीनो गतव्यतः सर्वारम्भपरित्यागी यो मद्भक्तस्स मे प्रियः अनपेक्षसुचिर्दक्ष उदासीनो गतव्यतः सर्वारम्भपरित्यागी यो मद्भक्तस्स मे प्रियः यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभपरित्यागी भक्तिमान्यस्स मे प्रियः यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभपरित्यागी भक्तिमान्यस्स मे प्रियः समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समसङ्गविवर्जितः समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समसङ्गविवर्जितः। We started the 35 qualities of a bhakta last week. We have done few qualities. The first quality he talks about of a bhakta, Advesha Sarva Bhutana. To all beings there should be love. So he puts it in a negative way. He says there should be no hatred to even one being. So that is the first quality. Hate no being. And then being friendly, maitra, karuna, compassion, nirmama, nirahankara, without mamatvam, without myness, and without I-ness. The I and my pervades our life, all activities. So he says, with jnanam, with surrender, you conquer these,
mamatvam and ahanka, and sama dukkha, being the same in both sukha and dukkha, and shani, forgiveness. We saw that forgiveness is the giving at the mental level. So the natural fragrance of a bhakta, bhakta here means one who has reached the atma, a jnani bhakta. There are different stages of bhakti. So as you grow in bhakti and get closer and closer to the divinity, these qualities should naturally shine in you. And as a sadhak, you are trying to get closer to the divinity, so you should try to develop these qualities. Focus and try and develop these qualities as well. So then we saw the other qualities. Some of the other qualities we saw was santushta satatam, being content always, ever content. The contentment from within, to the extent you have attained the contentment from within, to that extent, whatever may be the outside effect, experience, your contentment is not disturbed. So all that Vedanta says is, even Jesus Christ says, be content to serve. In fact, only a content fellow can serve. Anybody and everybody is starting NGO. Nothing wrong. We are not saying anything, we are not criticizing that. But first thing, you got to find the contentment. You are trying to give happiness to the other person. How can you give happiness to the other person when you have not found it within? So the whole thing seems to be a big sham. It's like you are trying to help people to become self-sufficient, but are you self-sufficient? To what extent are you self-sufficient? So santushta satatam. Then a bhakta is a yogi who is constantly united with the self. His union is absolute, and a person who is trying to get to the self, he identifies with the atma. Will this take me? He's not interested in anything else. Will this take me to be united with the self? A yogi. In fact, in Gita, constantly Sri Krishna tells Arjuna, tasmat yogi bhava Arjuna. Therefore be a yogi. Therefore be a yogi. Therefore be a yogi. So it is not where you are, but where your attention is. So a bhakta's attention is always on the self within. And then yatatma is self-controlled. He controls all the negativities. He doesn't suppress the positivities, he just makes them more consciously practiced. See, many of the positivities that we have need not necessarily have been cultivated through our conscious effort or thinking. If you are born and brought up in a certain family who have been having certain values, you could have mechanically imbibed those values, you know. So a bhakta is not just mechanically having positive values, he is imbibed those values, and all these are consciously inherited. That is more important. So he consciously controls the negativities and develops the positive. So self-control, consciously exercises control over his senses and mind. And his mind is completely determined. Dhridanishchaya means he's having firm conviction. What is the conviction? What is our conviction? Our conviction today is that the world can give us joy. His conviction is there is no joy in the world. And we have no idea about the self, and his conviction is there is joy only in the self. This conviction has to change. In the second chapter, verse 52 and 53, very important verses, the concluding portions of Karma Yoga, which he briefly talks in the second chapter. In the second chapter, if you remember, in the beginning Arjuna surrenders, Arjuna Sharanagati happens. Then Sri Krishna gives the Atma Jnana. He explains Atma Jnana from verse 11 to 25 and 26 to 30, 31 to 38 in different method, different angle. And then 39 to 53 he talks about Karma Yoga, the benefits of Karma Yoga,
And through Karma Yoga you will reach ability to gain knowledge, and through knowledge you will attain moksha. When he says that, Arjuna asks, can you give me the definition of a person who has reached moksha, a perfect human being? Then that is 54 years. Then 55 to 72 he gives the entire profile of a man of perfection. So in 52 Sri Krishna is talking about the benefits of Karma Yoga. So there he says, yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyasita rishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrotav yasya shrutasya cha. That's what he says. When then, so when a certain condition is fulfilled, then this happens to you. So what is it? Yada te moha kalilam buddhir vyasita rishyati. When the mire of delusion is dropped, when you cross over the mire of delusion, when the buddhi in you crosses over the mire of delusion, when your buddhi becomes free from the mire of delusion, what is the delusion that we are caught in? That I am Manjari and I can get joy from contacting the word. This delusion. Isn't it? As long as the delusion is there, I would be running after the material world. Whatever I come across, I would see whether this will help me to get the material world. So if somebody tells me, do this puja for a certain time, few days at a particular time, I will do that. Because doing that puja, I am told, will help me to get the material world. So then I become arthavakta. Then arthavakta, one who tries to do certain pujas to get out of difficulties, etc. Right? Different bhaktas. But a jnani, his conviction is concluded with clear path of karma yoga. He sees that there is no joy in the external world. So in that verse, what Sri Krishna is saying in 52, I'm just relating it to you here. He's saying that first of all, you don't be biased. Neither biased for nor biased against. Don't think there is no joy in the world. Don't conclude there is no joy in the world. Don't conclude there is joy in the world. You study the scriptures and go and practice it in your life, which is your laboratory, like you do in science. The teacher teaches you the theory, you then go back to the laboratory and you, through practicals, you find it out. Isn't it? Exactly like that, your life should be your laboratory. Only then the delusion will go to you, otherwise it won't go. It won't go from you. Impossible. You can listen as many lectures as you want. So without bias, as if there is some joy in it. Or there is no joy in it. Nothing like that. Simply you contact me. When you contact, then you will experience. Like if there was joy in the object, it should come to everybody who contacts it. And I should get the same amount of joy every time I contact it. But the more I contact, the joy content reduces, I get neutralized. So then when I carefully analyze, my mind was calm till the desire for that object emerged. And once the desire emerged, my mind is agitated. And when I contact the object, the agitation created due to the desire for the object is removed. The object is not bringing me joy. The object is only removing the agitation created by the desire for the object. Then I am again coming in contact with the joy that was existing before the desire for the object emerged. But the problem here is, it is very temporary because another desire for the same object or desire for another object emerges. So again agitation starts. Are you with me? So if I carefully analyze, then I understand actually what I was fooling myself thinking that the joy was coming from the object was actually the joy from the self reflected on the object. Like the sunlight reflected on the moon and seeing as if light is coming from the moon. And when this buddhi understands this, through constant working in the laboratory with awareness in the spirit of Karma Yoga, buddhi becomes sharp. the prasada will come. What is the prasada? He said in the second chapter, again in the end, he says, prasade sarva dukkhanam shanirasyopajayate prasanna cetaso yashuhu buddhi paryavatishtate. In 64 or 65 he says this, the second chapter. So the benefit of prasada, prasada is what? Functioning in the karma yoga with prasada buddhi. The benefit is what? Prasanna cetaso yashuhu. Your clarity will become sharp. Will become more? Your thinking will become very sharp, clearer. So then you will see that actually what the scriptures are saying is correct. That you have tested out in your own life. Then you are talking, you are living your life based on your conviction, not on Sri Krishna's or anybody else's dictation. So the bhakta has done all this, he's gone through karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. So he is seeing very clearly there is no pith or substance in this worldly object. They have only what is called as a utilitarian purpose. And you would be sad in this condition. So he is extremely detached. So he has a very firm conviction, dritta nischaya. His conviction is born out of his personal experimentation. This is the point that all of us miss. That is why I am emphasizing on this. It is very important, if you want this knowledge to transform you, to personally experiment. And before experimenting, you reflect. Having gained the knowledge through Shravana, you go and reflect and imbibe it and then experiment it. Nididhyasana. Shravana manana nididhyasana. Then a firm conviction will come that nobody else can rock you. Suddenly some new thing has come. You understand? You know that it is a same thing in a new form. A new toy has come. Are you very excited now? You reason about that toy word. Suddenly a new toy has come which you never played when you were growing up. Are you going to get excited about it? You have reason about the entire toy world. So that is the conviction. So the conviction of that bhakta is what? World is having no joy inherently in it. And Atma is the absolute bliss. And he stays in that conviction. Dhrida nischaya. And then he says, Mai arpita mano buddhihi. Only when you form that conviction, your mind and buddhi will be in that. No. Abhi, we are talking on Bhagavad Gita and all that, but where is our buddhi? It's not in Mai, it's not in me. In me means Atma. Isn't it? Where is it? We are talking everything, but the focus is arpana is only towards the world. That word faida comes. From this I have to get something from the world. Isn't it? Mera ko kya faida hota. So, mai arpita mano buddhi. So in the case of a bhakta, his mind, his buddhi, everything is dedicated to the self. And such a person, he says, mat bhakta, my devotee. My devotee because his attention is in me. Since his mind and intellect, buddhi is in me, the whole personality is in me, he is dearer to me. So it does not matter whether you consider yourself a devotee of God. God should consider you to be his devotee. Like in the poem Abu Banarab. He asked the angel, what are you writing? What is there in this book that you are carrying? The angel says, all those who love God. Is my name one? When he asks, the angel says, no. Nay, not so. It's not there. So then please write me as one who loves this fellow being. And next day the angel comes with another book which contains all the names of those who are loved by God. And the poet says, Abu Ben Adam's name was the first. So if you hate no being, you would be dearer to God. If you love God and hate all beings, really, then you won't be there to God. That's all he's saying. Next verse. Verse 15, chapter 12.
Yasmano dvijate lokaha, yasmano dvijate lokaha, lokano dvijate chayaha, lokano dvijate chayaha, harsha marshabayo dvegaihi, harsha marshabayo dvegaihi, mukto yasacha me priyaha, mukto yasacha me priyaha, yasmano dvijate lokaha, lokano dvijate chayaha, harsha marshabayo dvegaihi, mukto yasya cha me priyah. Yasma no dvijate lokaha. One who does not get agitated by the world, and one who is not agitating the world, by whom the world is not agitated. One who does not agitate the world. Yasmat no dvijate lokaha. He doesn't agitate the world. Bhakta does not agitate the world. Loka no dvijate chayaha. He also has a capacity not to get agitated by the world. He does not give shoka to the world, nor does he allow the world to give him shoka. You remember that example of Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha is supposed to have walked with his disciples from one village to another. So in one village they were hurling abuses at him. He belongs to the palace, he's the prince and he's begging, you know, like that people criticize, hurling abuses. He quietly walked. Whereas the disciples were getting agitated, looking at Buddha, if he would give them permission to go and fight with them. He quietly walked. And then they confronted him. Why is it that you are keeping quiet? Why don't you tell us, we will do something? He says, listen, it is their privilege to hurl abuses at me. It is my privilege to say no thank you. And you also have the same privilege. But you exercise another choice, to accept those abuses. And since you accepted those abuses, you are now suffering. So to see, when you get closer and closer to the divinity within, the natural state of divinity is purity. And as a result of the purity, you cannot do any harm to any being. Even apparently certain stringent action of his is seen outwardly, inherently it will be soaked in purity. There is no way he will be agitating the world. There is no desire to conquer, there is no desire to dominate. See, please understand, love is vulnerable, whereas attachment is dominating. Ego dominates. Love is vulnerable, isn't it? When you are in love, you become vulnerable, a conscious vulnerability. So you are not trying to dominate anybody. There is no ego trying to exercise your powers over somebody. There is nothing like that. So why would the world get agitated? You understand? Now, but that is what we are doing is, see, the knowledge doesn't get converted into wisdom. Instead of humility, we'll develop arrogance. Then a sense of domination may come, a sense of superiority may come. Whereas if it's a true bhakta, he is full of love. Bhakti is love. When the emotion is directed towards the higher, it's called bhakti. And the same emotion is directed towards the lower, it's called love. So he is full of love, completely vulnerable. That vulnerability comes because of strength. See, many places when we are vulnerable, it is not coming because of strength. It is not coming because of choice. It is coming out of helplessness. Vulnerability that comes because of helplessness is not love. That is attachment. You understand? I am attached, so I am helpless, so I am showing myself as vulnerable, exposing me. Here it is out of choice, a conscious vulnerability. Let them be as they are. And since he is so pure, he continues, his activities have got nothing to do with what they do to him. It is in spite of what they do to him. Completely detached. He continues to do good things. What is good for the other person? What is good for the world? All his actions will be loka sangraha. There is no desire to do good, but what emanates out of him is only good. Remember that another example. Whenever negative is exposed to light, it cannot be developed further. Only in dark room the negative develops. And bhakta is one who is exposed to the divinity, the light within, the absolute light within. And therefore all negativities are gone. So he cannot be wrong. He cannot do anything wrong. He cannot have anything negative. It doesn't have. So in Ramayana, in Tamil, Kamba Ramayana, he says Aduvum Nandru. Aduvum means even that is good. Meaning whatever a person who is evolved does, that is also with the idea of doing good to the other. Which is what Shakespeare says, being cruel only to be kind. So don't try to be cruel to be kind. First develop kindness. First develop light within. Just identify with the light within first. Then automatically you will be in good. You will be doing only loka sangraha. So that's what he's saying. One who does not agitate the world, there is no desire. He doesn't desire. Agitation comes in you when there is desire. So when the desire is there, when it is not met, agitation comes. And when the desire is there, whether the desire will get fulfilled, agitation will come. There is no desire. Completely contented, he already said. Right? So then where is the problem? So he says, Bhakta does not agitate the world. So now as a father, what do we have to do? Mentally thought agaya. Say this and hurt the person. Right. You want to say this, give it to them, give it to them. Thought is coming mentally. At least physically don't say. Drink a glass of water. Enough. Breathe in, breathe out. It's a sadhana, that's all I'm saying. Kayika, vachika, manasa. If it is not possible at the manasa level, at least vachika level and kayika level you try. Body level and speech level. And then go to the mind level. This self-control you got to practice. That is what he said. Yatatma. Now nobody wants to do any... it's like, you know, you pay to the pujari, Panditji, and say you do puja. And what are you doing? Gambling. In the... just giving an extreme example. You are delegating your bhakti to a Panditji. You do not want to put in the effort. Isn't it? Now what he said is, Yatatma, he tries, he controls. So you got to control that. You, even if the mind has certain negativities, wanting to agitate the world, you say no. At the physical level, I will not agitate the world. Practice this quality. And when somebody says something, they are trying to agitate you, how will you protect yourself? By clearly understanding, they also have a right to exist with their negativities.
And Jesus says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of this. Acceptance does not mean you are allowing that person to hurt you. Another confusion comes. Oh, accept means what? Then allow the fellow to do. Go on. Accept means in your mind you are not trying to change anybody. You are accepting people as they are. But mentally you have put a shock absorber. So that person doing whatever he is doing, like the Buddha's example, doesn't hurt you. That is more important. When you don't accept, you allow the person to hurt you. Just accept them as they are. They also have a right to exist. And in this universe, everybody exists for something or other. So we are practicing sadhana.
So at that time also, if you say vichara is not correct, right? Or is it?
Vichara is always not correct.
Because no, meaning you feel that, oh,
poor fellow, he's not evolved.
See,
if it's an objective statement, I know, if it's an objective statement that he is child, then it's okay. If underlining the statement, there is an element of ego that I have come this side, poor fellow is still struggling. If that element of ego is there, with that intention, if you say vichara, then it is weakness. But understanding that they are children, that is not wrong. That is true actually. So world is incapable of agitating you. Because you have no expectations. When you have clearly assessed it, you say, how it is, then where is the question of getting agitated? So, I've said this example many times. When you are a sadhak, you should not allow the other person to agitate you. Many a times what we say, oh, they are behaving like this, sir. How can we not get agitated? In other words, what you are saying is, they are eating chili and you are eating samaki. How is that possible? If they are eating chili, they should get stomachache. They are eating chili, you are getting stomachache, which means you are also eating chili. You have given them strength to disturb you. Remember, nobody can disturb you till you have not given them the strength to disturb
you. It sounds much easier
said,
but it doesn't happen.
No,
no.
Too angry. Did I not say, at least kaika vachika don't do it. At least externally, internally you're getting agitated. Externally don't show the agitation. Watch that agitation. Why am I getting agitated? I'm giving importance to the words. And what is the words? The words are hurting the external layers of me, not me. If the words can only hurt the external layers, words cannot hurt the Atma. So I have identified with my body, my intellect, therefore I am getting agitated. So what do? I quickly start identifying with the Atma. What do you have to do? Practice your name. Do sadhana. That's all.
Forget your name.
I'm saying, no? Your name is given to you to remind you that you should do sadhana. That's all. Just keep doing that. It's okay, now I am agitated. But my goal is to not allow them to agitate me. So if I see that very clearly, why will I get agitated?
That troubles them more, but...
Of course. They won't do that.
If you don't react to both the disciples, so the disciples were set on the behalf of Buddha.
They want the reaction.
And Buddha was capable of making his own. He was the Buddha, right? So he knew, he made that choice of not being agitated. But as far as the disciple is concerned, they're upset. What if they're upset on the behalf of somebody who does not have the capability or is too young to think or to stand up for themselves.
You can only stand up for others to the extent you are mentally strong. If you yourself are upset, mentally agitated, you are not standing up for the others. You are also putting the other fellow into weakness. Many a times, now listen, I understood what you are asking. And you are saying I am standing up for them, your children for example. Some other children are bullying your children.
Oh,
okay. I am just giving an example. And you are standing up for them. If you are agitated, you cannot really stand up for them. Real way to stand up for them also is to be not agitated. So to the extent you are agitated, you won't be responding, you will be reacting. You are something like chicken without head. So really speaking, responding is different from getting agitated. So even to be able to respond, even to be able to stand up and deliver like Sri Krishna did, you must have the capacity not to get agitated.
So in a situation like you suggested, where children are involved, so there's two ways. You can either stand up for the children or you can explain to the children, right? How do I explain, like this is a concept that I am trying to learn at this age, so how do I explain this concept to a child that it's not you, it's, you know, whatever's inherent in each of our natures?
See, when we say child, it's a very general word. Child what age? Right, for a person who is 80 year old, his son who is 55 year old is still a child, my child, you'll say. If you are talking about children who can understand reason to some extent, then you can explain to them and say that, listen, if they are trying to bully you, you give it back to them, but without getting affected by it. Don't, first of all, understand that you don't bully anybody. Did you do something so that they came and bullied you in return? Or without doing anything, if somebody is coming to you, to tell them, no, stand up for it. Right, you come and tell me or tell your teacher that we will stand up for it. But most important thing is, you should make sure that other person doesn't bully you. It is actually people whose self-esteem is low will be bullying. Whose self-esteem is very high, they won't bully you. They feel good by doing all this because their self-esteem is very low. So you have to educate your child, this is what is happening, their self-esteem is very low. So if you turn back and say, hey, mind your words, you know, second and third time they'll be careful. So you can tell them, somebody can be stronger than you physically, that is possible because of gene and so many other factors. But mental strength is in your hands. So you tell them to be strong mentally. This is exactly what is, you know, when a girl stands up, her fellows get frightened. There may be certain things happening to you externally, that area you've got to be sensible. But internally you've got to be strong. You can only be strong internally, you can only be giving response externally to the extent internally you don't get agitated. A lot of us, we are agitated mentally. And in our agitations we are reacting, not responding. So when he says a bhakta doesn't get agitated, doesn't mean that he allows, he stands up. When he has to give it back to them, he gives them back. Like, remember that quotation of Shakespeare, what is it? Beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in beareth that thy enemy beware of thee. No agitation, smiling assassin. You got to be a smiling assassin. Like Sri Krishna. Like you said, when they try to agitate you and you are not agitated, that agitates them actually more. And they go on doing mistakes. And in fact they slowly start going, trying to find out who can be agitated. Nobody will waste their energy trying to agitate you continuously. Remember, all that you got to understand in this is, you got to continue making yourself strong. That's all. Every country, every individual, every family, they have to work to make themselves self-sufficient and strong from within. When a country gives importance to education and original thinking, and when people bring out more inventions and more capabilities are increased in them, automatically their neighboring countries and everybody
Back off.
Rather than going on fighting with them, start working with you. Like Swami Vivekananda says, the way to overcome weakness is not to brood over weakness, but to start thinking of strength. Start focusing on strength. When you become strong, automatically the other fellows will keep quiet. Either they will become your ally, or they will keep quiet. Continue making yourself strong internally. So be a yogi. Be a hatha yogi, be a karma yogi, be a bhakti yogi, be a jnana yogi. Now, it is of course very difficult if you don't want to do any of this yoga. I don't want to do any yoga. I just heard one lecture of yours, a few lectures of yours, or anybody else's for that matter. I should not be agitated. Not possible.
But the strength can be positive or negative, right?
Strength is never negative. Strength is always positive. What we are talking about appears as strength. That is not strength. If you hit him there, he'll crumble.
It could probably be the insecurity which is seeming like the more insecure, the more insecurity. Aggression.
That's what I'm saying. That is not strength.
That's not
the only insecurity which...
Aggression is more insecurity than strength.
Nothing to do with bullying.
Speak to Amelie.
The strength of that person comes not from outside things. There is no group or anything on which he relies. He relies on himself. See, we are relying on
some state and the country. When you were talking about the state and the country, right? The being strength, gaining strength could be positive and negative. So you have to think about how you are gaining your strength, right?
I am saying, when you gain true strength, it can never be negative. You will, if you are truly powerful, you will never use your power on anybody else.
That's right.
Impossible. It's only the weak fellow.
So why should everyone shun away from you? People would want to come to you. Why would that? That was what I was trying to say.
Because they are weak. They do not, when I say they do not want to back
see. Your ones are shun away from you.
Only you are not shunning them away. But they will be, see, it's like respect, you know. Somebody who is very disciplined. In the family also, the other fellow is a little, it's not that he is instilling fear. His respect, he has earned that respect, he is in that such a level, the other behave automatically in front of him. Because of the stature. That is what I am trying to say. But you don't become a bully. That is not what I am saying. If you are really powerful, you will not use your power on anybody. It's only weak fellows who will use power on somebody. Children, for example. We are so vulnerable, we immediately start using our power on them. So that's what many times you see these people when they do this agitation and all that, and they come on the TV and they talk, they say, how dare this policeman behave to us like this? To us even behave, will he behave like this to a guy who is going in a Rolls Royce or a BMW? Are you with me? So, what they are trying to tell you is, you are trying to misuse your power on us because you are weak. Are you with me? So if that, you know, a policeman is really strong from within, he is not going to show it at all. They are going to be very quiet. Not because he is scared. In fact, he is keeping quiet because your level is so low that you should not get harmed. You understand? See, how many punches are you able to take vis-a-vis how many punches you can give? Isn't it? Even in cricket and all that, when the people are sledging them, you know, all these things are being done to the cricketers, some of them, they just mind their own business. Rahul Dravid, you will never see him that much reacting. He'll use all that and keep on going, slowly leaving the deliveries that have to be left, hitting fours and sixes, and other fellows will keep quiet now, unnecessarily wasting my energy with this fellow. Then they'll try to use it with some other fellows who react. So, standing up is different, getting agitated is different. We are talking about internally. Don't get agitated. Externally you stand up. In fact, for you to be able to stand up externally, you got to maintain this balance inside. Otherwise anybody else coming and saying something that can, you know, agitate you. Small little things, what people say, can agitate you.
Sometimes it's your past experience also that triggers of things that really are not intended to trigger, no?
See, when the past experience has not been thought about and learned from it, then only it will do all this. We have this prefrontal cortex with which we can learn from the past or we can go to the future and plan in the present.
No,
if the prefrontal cortex is weak, then it will go back to the past and go on worrying about what happened, or it will go to the future and be anxious about what is going to happen in the future. So therefore, you can if you took certain experiences of the past and digested it by reflecting over it, then it won't come back and haunt you. If you have not digested it, then it will haunt you.
Not you, the other.
What?
Not you. You may have digested and reflected and worked upon it and gotten out of it. But let's say the other person is still at that level. So whenever you say something, it's a trigger for the other person. And the reaction is like, you know, oh my God, I didn't mean
where
that.
Where is it coming from?
So now you know, oh, she's still in, or he's still in the past.
But like something we said earlier also, you can show your agitation, but don't feel it inside. I mean, sometimes to discipline somebody.
That's what I'm saying, no? Stand up. Stand up, but without getting agitated.
From inside.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You can show it, but you don't need to really feel
it. If it's really affecting you, then it's a reaction and not a response.
Yeah. Exactly.
So then it's like you're also getting involved in the situation and getting carried away.
Absolutely.
And you will get carried away if you are reacting, no?
Absolutely.
No, but if discipline someone, maybe like she's saying for children, you have to show it, but
Please understand it. You don't agitate them. They will get agitated. That is not your problem. Please, you're not understanding.
No, not problem. For the harmony.
It doesn't form the harmony.
Understand this.
Ji.
What is in your hands is, you don't agitate them.
Ji.
You don't get agitated. Okay? In spite of you doing things with good intention, there may be few people because of the past, future, whatever it may be. I understood what you're saying. If they get agitated, what you can do?
You can't do anything.
It doesn't trouble you if you have objectivity. If you did not have objectivity, it will trouble you. If you have objectivity, you will understand. They will learn over a period of time. See, what you are not understanding is, Vedanta is not saying you will not have emotions. You will have emotions, but you will never have
experience.
You will never become emotional. So you will see that they are at that level. You will clearly see they are at that level, getting agitated, the world is affecting them. Even my actions, which are actually doing for their good, seems to be agitating them. That is the level in which they are. This I will understand. But I would not expect them to change overnight. I will understand it will take some time for them to change.
I think momentarily we get hurt and then
you can't stop observing. That you don't mean it and they are disturbed. So they react and say things.
Hmm.
And that sometimes you say, hey Ram, you know, pass it. But then other times,
that is what I'm saying. When you are a sadhak, please remember this. It's with reference to all qualities, not only with this quality. When you are a sadhak, you will get hurt. But quickly you will recover. How quickly you recover depends on how much sadhana you are doing. Okay? But when you reach that state, you don't get hurt and recover.
You are spontaneously functioning
without hurt.
Yes.
So don't confuse the state that's what I'm saying. When you are growing, you will get hurt. You will get hurt, obviously, at that level, but quickly you will recover.
You'll
say, okay, that is because it's like, you know, you see your children crying.
That their prakriti is like that. So
yeah, it's not only prakriti. See, everybody has to grow from the level that they are in.
Yeah.
It will take time, you know. So you will patiently wait. Whatever you have to do, you will continue doing.
But we are responsible only for ourselves. No?
So,
grow
when he says, he will not agitate the world, yet there is no intention for him to agitate the world.
But we can't take the agitation away from the world.
That you cannot.
We control our agitation. You can't, like, you want peace in the whole world, yes, but like it can't.
You know what I'm saying?
The agitation
of Jesus Christ was just serving.
Yes.
That was agitating those fellows.
Yes.
See, what I'm trying to
that
say
is something you have to accept.
That he will not agitate doesn't mean there won't be agitation in the world. They are two different things. Yes. Don't confuse them.
Like, for example, I'm just thinking about what Ami says. Supposing that someone is agitated, younger children are agitated about something, they're talking.
Mm.
So, okay, so we don't increase their agitation. We could remain calm. And also, I guess, accept that they have to learn to find their ways of coping and strengthen themselves.
Obviously.
It's their journey.
If you had true
you
love,
help feeling thing, but
if you had true love, you will little bit stand away and watch them. Only when they are going to hurt themselves really bad, you will interfere. Till then, you will not interfere. Because you are basically not interfering to make them strong. Truly, when you love somebody, your interest is to make the other person strong. Not going on holding them. You know, unless you see them in a difficult situation where they will completely hurt themselves, you will not interfere. Otherwise, you are saying, oh, I have to help them, I have to help them. And you are basically, what you are doing is, you are keeping them so weak.
Controlling.
You are keeping them weak.
You are weakening them.
Everything you do, that is why children become either passive or adults. Real love is, you, see, this is what I am saying now. One of the things we talk in parenting talk is this. First thing with reference to children, you should not have possessiveness. Second thing you should not have is, second thing you should do to them is, their ability to retain the normalcy at a very low level.
What does that mean?
I'll explain. First, you should have that quality, then only you will be able to teach them. That is, how many ever vacations you go, finally you have to come back to Delhi. How many ever activities you may perform in the day and you may get out of your house to come back to your house. How many ever variety of food you may contact outside, you have to come back to your dal chawal at home. Right? You should, in spite of you contacting variety of food outside, you should continue to retain the ability to cheerfully contact the dal chawal every time you contact it. That is learning, that is living. Now what happens is when you indulge in the variety, you stop enjoying the variety and you lost the capacity to enjoy the dal chawal because your normalcy has shot up very high. This is what happens in addictions also. Right? Your body is producing X amount of hormones, the chemicals, and you are at a certain level of happiness. Suddenly, you are giving a glass of alcohol or a few glasses of alcohol which is producing 10x. From X it is come to 10x.
Addiction.
Now, what the body does is, suddenly I am getting 10x from somewhere. So why should I waste chemicals now? And it stops producing them. Because something is coming from outside. So let me preserve this, conserve this for emergency. Right? And then the 10x you are not able to enjoy anymore because that becomes normal.
Mm.
You want 1000x. So then you get into drugs and this and that. Then the 1000 becomes your level.
Mm.
Are you with me? You are neither happy with 1000 nor can you come back to X.
Come back to
so what is the art of living? The art of living is not teaching your children to go and contact varieties. Let them contact varieties but without losing the ability to retain the normalcy at a very low level. This is real art of living. This is very important. Especially in affluent families because the possibility of them to fulfill their desires is plenty. In this modern world especially. Because from within you have money also, from without opportunities also is there.
So if you take it in this context, basically don't lose contact with yourself. Contact whatever, but don't.
Absolutely. So
apt example for my home life, Dal Chawal. It is spot on.
We are getting totally
distracted. So to answer your question, you will see them going through difficulties, but you will not interfere. Till it is your obligation and they are going to destroy themselves. You will have the capacity. That emotion is there, but you will never become emotional. This is strength. That is the most important. It is, again, you see, it's not easy. It is not easy. If it was easy, why should we meet and study and reflect? That is what I am saying. For a yogi, it is not difficult. Because he continuously practices. So, yasman no dvijate lokaha, loka no dvijate chayaha. Then, harsha marsha bayod vegaihi muktaha. He is mukta, he is free. Free from what? Harsha amarsha. Bhaya udvega. All this is free. What are these? Harsha, Swamiji is translated as joy. Actually, harsha means over-excitement. That is not there in the Bhakta. Extremely getting excited. I got it at 25% of the original rate. You're so excited. Bhakta is thinking in terms of giving. See, Desdemona, she found, Shakespeare says, she found wise inner virtue for not having given more than what was asked. But he came to her asking for 100 rupees. She immediately gives them 100. But then she thinks, hey, I made a mistake. So probably they needed 150 or 200. Over-excitement. And Bhakta's focus is in giving. There is no over-excitement. He experiences joy, but is balanced. That harsha is not there. See, to be balanced in joy, like he said earlier, it's very important. The over-excitement, you actually put the other person's uncomfortable around you, that you have conquered something. Always remember, culture is, you should make the other people comfortable. A cultured person will do that, not showing off. So harsha, he is free from this harsha. And amarsha, which is envy. When somebody else's have achieved something, seeing that you develop this envy, jealousy, isn't it? In your rights, in your achievements, you are not overexcited. In others' achievement, you are not envious. Quietly, he goes about doing what he ought to do. That's what he's saying. Very quietly he's doing. Harsha, amarsha. No joy, no overexcitement, no amarsha, envy. Then bhaya. See, envy, God, Bhagavan, if you see, they have this abhaya mudra. What it means is, in love there is no fear. In attachment there is fear. In bhakti, to the extent you become a bhakta, to that extent you will not have fear. You remember that story, a newly married couple traveling in a ship on a cruise, and then suddenly there was this huge cyclone and all these problems were coming and the huge waves were hitting the ship, and the husband was so afraid. The wife said, why should I be afraid? I'm not afraid. He said, how can you not be afraid? Such a scenario. she immediately took that knife which she was using to cut the apple in the room. She pointed it at his neck. He said, what are you doing? So she said, are you not affected? Are you not agitated? Are you not scared? He said, I am not scared. Why would I be scared of you? Because you are one. The same thing she said. I am part of the same nature. Why would nature harm me? In that sense, you know, when there is oneness, there is no fear. So to the extent that there is bhakti, there is no fear. If you have done something, then the fear will come. I am following some wrong things, having selfishness, then the bhaya comes. In Tamil we say, madiyila ganam, vadiyila bhaya. Means in your pocket if there is some valuable things, then on the way when you are going to your house, you will be scared now. When your pocket is empty, see, when a person has straight away accepted the defeat, what you can defeat him? There is no way you can defeat him. He straight away accepted the defeat. So in love, you don't try to defeat anybody. So there is no fear that somebody else can defeat you. It's the very interesting thing, you know, when you have the tendencies, it comes. That is why the carnivorous animals are so scared. Because they are constantly destroying. Since they are constantly destroying, they are scared of others destroying them. So fear comes when you have that kind of luggage, that baggage. When you have no baggage like that, when you are only going with love, there is no fear. That is why Mahatma Gandhiji was able to, without any fear, walk into the the group which was fighting with weapons for freedom. He never walked in and said, all of you please give up your weapons. And when they asked him, are you not scared? He said, yeah, I am not scared, you guys are scared. Because I didn't come with any weapons, you have all the weapons. So you are scared, not me. So, to the extent you have bhakti, to that extent there won't be bhaya. Because bhakti, remember, is self-effacement. Surrender, that is bhakti. Surrender means what? You will abide by the system. When you are abiding by the system, there is a fear. The strength comes from being right. You understand? There is this fearlessness that comes because you are doing the right things all the time. There is no way you get scared. If you compromise on that somewhere, then the fear comes. And also when there is no expectation, I am not following the righteousness for others to appreciate me. I believe in righteousness, therefore I am following it. I am not following righteousness because others around following or not following. I am convinced I am following that. Therefore, my strength comes from that. There is no bhaya. Being dharmic as a spoke in the wheel of life, not as something separate from the wheel of life. Isn't it? When you become one with the system, see, bhakta doesn't make his presence known. He's a person who tries to put himself at the center and tries to make his presence known, he will get agitated if his presence is not felt. He simply quietly does and goes up. There is no fear. So in his right, he is not overexcited. When he does something good, when anything positive happens to him, he is not overexcited. When somebody else is right, he is genuinely happy for them rather than having envy. Whereas in our case, when we do something overexcited, when somebody else gets something, envy. These varied emotions come when you are in delusion and when you are in desire. You know, he already said in the second chapter again, when your desire is interrupted, you get angry. When your desire is fulfilled, greed, fear of losing. Right? And then compared to someone who's got more than you, you have envy. Somebody who's got less than you, arrogance. So kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhaya, all this comes. When your desire is, thy will be done, I surrender my will to your will, the small circle is identified with the big circle. You studied this somewhere. The small circle is now merged with the big circle. Now where is the fear for the big circle? Ego is represented by the snake. And the snake around the Lord Shiva's neck is not scared of the Garuda. When it is separate, and it finds itself separate from Lord Shiva, supposing it gets down. Are you with me? Then it is scared of Garuda. So the small circle is identified with the big circle. So where is the fear? See, a bhatta, I'm just putting it in emotional tone now. A bhatta will say, what has to be done is done. If, because of that, if failure doesn't come, that is not my failure, that is his failure. That is his failure, not my failure. Because it is his job to make sure that the law is maintained. So if it didn't come, that is his problem. So he is not scared. He just goes about doing what has to be done and goes. So there is no harsha, there is no amarsha, there is no bhaya. Harsha, amarsha, bhaya, vegaihi. So there is no fear of, he is free from joy, envy, fear. And then this udvega, this upset, you know, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't become anxious. Very, you know, we become very easily anxious. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? Future. Future, he studied that 47th verse of chapter 2 very well and practices. What is it? Karmani eva adhikara. Mahaphaleshu kadachit. There is no anxiety about the future. You got to remember to detach the anxiety from planning. Lot of people confuse themselves. Oh, when you say future ke bare mein, I should not be anxious, so I should not plan. Who said? Planning for the future is a present action. It is an action by the buddhi in the present. So when he says karmani eva adhikara, it is your karma to plan in the present. Are you with me? So you have a choice to plan, but you do not have the choice to expect that the planning should come through. This class can happen if I come to the class. But not only if I come to the class, if you all come also. None of you come. I don't have the habit of talking alone. So class will not happen. Isn't it? So the planning is in my hands. That's what he's saying. Karmani eva adhikara. So planning for the future is a present action by the buddhi. That's your look. So he no anxiety, nothing. Result has to come. The cause is sown, the effect, the fruit has to come. He checks in all his worries at the God Airlines counter. No, you take all your luggage. You go to the counter there. And you check in your baggage. To leave your roaming around in duty free and go and sit in your flight, enjoy sleep, because you have checked in. He, as far as he is concerned, he is long time checked in Atma, because it's clearly assessed. The only thing that is worth identifying is Atma, because everything else is changing. You are investing also in the business. You invest in somebody whose business is steadily growing, even if it's not growing suddenly. You know, this is the only thing permanent. Everything else is impermanent. What is permanent is you being alone. That nobody can. That's the truth. isn't it? Now we all come, 11 to 12:15, we meet, then we go, you are alone. Then somebody else comes, they go, you are alone. So you better retain the capacity to be alone cheerfully. Then where is the anxiety? They go away at 12:15. Let them go. You understand? There is no anxiety. So, this is what he is saying. A bhakta is absolutely free. See in that movie, Beautiful Mind. In the end, when he is asked, Dr. Nash, those imaginary characters are not coming now in your mind. He says, no, they are still there. He has received the Nobel Prize and is coming, they are asking him. They are still there. He says, I have just learned to ignore them. So you know, when on the path, learn to ignore them. Oh, I'm getting angry. I'm getting envious. I'm getting... Because you're on this path, sadhana, it will come. Learn to ignore them. Don't identify with them and get agitated by them. I'm still having envy, jealousy. Yeah, I have to start focusing. Remember the quotation of Vivekananda. Don't focus on weakness. Focus on strength. Yes.
But to ignore, you need to acknowledge it.
Yeah,
the
fact that you are seeing, you are
acknowledging
and then you say, it's okay, let it be. If I start focusing here, when I start establishing myself in this, this will automatically go, become mentally free. See, in the insurance language they say, a person who is accident prone, looks for people who are accident prone and they meet with accident on the road. You know, when you're learning to drive, you say, oh, that fellow is coming, this fellow is coming, you go on. You're talking about who all are coming. So, you see this fellow is coming, so you're turning your steering wheel towards that fellow. So that is why in all these F1 races and all, the drivers are thought, when you are, by chance, you know, your car is moving towards the wall on the side, they are trained to look the other way. When they look the other way, automatically the steering wheel will turn the other way. If your eyes are fixated on the wall, you will be turning the steering wheels in that direction. So they are trained to look the other way. So if you notice, I'm just giving you as a sadhana, if you notice this over excitement, remember, you are just a woman. You are just a man. You know, positive comes, negative comes. Two matches we won, third match we lost. You understand? This is life. Many times I've seen this. You know, now also this Australian Open is going on. I remember this Wimbledon match between Stefan Edberg and Boris Becker. 5-setter match in Wimbledon. First two sets, Boris Becker won. Third set, he was leading. And the rain came. And those days they don't close, you know, nowadays they close. And the rain came, the match got interrupted. For a few hours, they came back. That set and the next two sets, Stefan Edberg won and we won the match. Now my question to you is, if it, you know, some of the ATP tournaments, they play only 3-setters. If it was a 3-setter, Becker has won. If 5-setter, therefore Edberg won. Supposing if it was 7-setter, 9-setter, you don't know. Do you understand? So what are you talking about? I won and getting excited. Nothing of the sort. You know? So with the knowledge, with the surrender, he becomes absolutely free from all these various modifications of emotions. He's only mentioned 4, doesn't mean the other things he has. He's become free from all the modifications. Nothing touches him. Because he's constantly focused on the Atma. So there is no question of, so your right is also my right. Let's conclude. पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते
Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahe Sakalam Parasmahe Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami.